Welcome back to the Challenge Double Agents Wrap Up Podcast for episode 4. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Alasher Ali. How are you?
Brian, to quote TJ, I am the opposite of good. How are you?
I'm right there with you. I think, this is the opposite of good week. This is not great. But here we are. Here we are. We're present. That's what I could say.
So I have to say something just because I don't want to be here. Like, that's not a good attitude to bring into the podcast. But like, obviously, you know, a coup was staged yesterday and I don't mean to make light of it. This is my Aries energy getting uncomfortable in a serious situation. But yesterday, everything's been hard, right? The last year's been hard, et cetera. Yesterday was really hard. Today is really hard. I tried to get out of doing the podcast, but Brian is a strong soldier, and we believe in providing entertainment in bad times. So this is not what people are about. It's not what I'm about. Totally fine. But if people are enjoying this, then we are here and excited to talk about Double Agents. How is that? I don't know. I'm in a bad spot, man.
I think this episode brought some levity and joy and laughter that we could embrace and, you know, take a break from and jump in. We get to make fun of Fessy. Who doesn't like doing that? That kind of brings the world together, right? Fessy's a moron. There we go.
I'm gonna do my best, but I'm a real person. I'm not an entertainer, and I'm coming in cold. I'm not coming in hot. But last week, so the questions thread, speaking of people coming in hot, people don't like the new way to give questions. I like it.
No, they really don't. It's very confusing. People are confused.
Let's have a little lesson plan here today. I'll be condescending and upset. That'll be great. No, so the reason is it's very... I get that people want to chat in the patron group. Meanwhile, Mr. Brian going through being like, keep it to the threat, keep it in the Google Doc. You don't need to do that. They want to chat about it outside. That's fine. I was dying and I saw that.
I was trying to guide it. I was trying to, because I saw the questions starting to pile up. Like, oh boy, like, let me see if I can answer this. Well, it was starting. It was three quickly. I'm like, this is not going to go well. And then I was even like, oh, there's questions
I'm
everywhere. You're
it.
Screwing it up. I'm taking
if
over.
You're not Mari... or someone I know in real life, your only avenue is to put it in the doc. If it's outside the doc, chat it up, tweet about it, fleet about it, Twitter about it. Leave me out of it. But anyway, so let me just explain. So we always had a thread in the patron group that was a little exclusive. And while I love exclusivity, I like all the questions. So, one doc, one place. If someone asks on Twitter, we can give it to them. That's like sort of the rationale for it. So I apologize. But a function of it is that in a normal time, when we were using the Facebook thread or Twitter or whatever, after we did the show, if your question came in after, like I never went back and looked at it. I don't know, Brian, if you're going back responding to all our missed questions. But but now I see all the questions we missed last week because I go through it the next week. So we have a bit of old business. I normally won't pull those questions, and to give someone a target, like, so, you know, we don't know. Sometimes we'll record after the episode. Sometimes we'll record Thursday. Maybe let's say Thursday at 5. Best time to get your question in immediately after the episode. Otherwise,
do it Thursday live.
At 5.
Go ahead. Have the Google Doc up as the episode's going and just fire them away so they're fresh.
If you're like me and you're not watching the episode right away, maybe you're never watching it. No, I watch this week. Thursday at 5. But I won't always pull the old questions, but this made me laugh. Mike Brett, and I believe Mike Brett and I once shared a pizza at a know-it-all's event, so I also like had good pizza feelings about this. What does it take to be the best player on Are You the One? Did Devin call himself the best player on Are You the One last week or 2 weeks ago?
So it's a good question.
Oh, yeah. Happy New Year, whatever. Go ahead.
Okay, Happy New Year. Great start. Is it 2022 yet? Does player refer to, you know, your strategizing, or because it's a love show, player could be like, you know, you're bouncing around to the most people to hook up with. So what player definition are we talking about for Are You the One?
Wow. Well, yeah, that's how players, the second one, get away with it on Are You the One, because they claim they're trying to get to know everyone in the house and playing the game.
Right. They're following their heart. They're following their heart.
Following something. Anyway, that made me laugh. I missed that if Devin said it. So thank you, Mike. And then Michelle Marshy, who I know in real life. So Michelle is one of the people who can find other channels, although she did ask me to send the link to her and I didn't. So I got these on Facebook. And only someone who I know in real life can come at me like this. Ready for this? I can't believe you forgot about Ninja when you were describing Big Sarah Energy last episode. Ninja was so annoyingly excited about every challenge. Yes, Michelle, correct. That was a terrible omission, so I have to roast myself here. And we have a lot of great questions for Michelle, so we'll get to more of those. So that's my old business. That's it.
New bit. All right. There you go.
I'm having a rough time. I had pizza with Mike, and we forgot about Ninja. That's the old business.
Well, forgetting about Ninja is helping the cause. Like, remembering Ninja would lower the cause back down. So.
Oh, my God. All right. I feel like there's really not much to talk about this episode besides Fessy, but I want to get some of the nuggets out with, like, we get a little bit of a tease to a possible switch, and no, this doesn't count as a switch partner wise, but maybe a life partner switch from Tori and Jordan to Tori and Fessy clicking in the hot tub. Any thoughts, feelings, concerns about this teaser?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that this even came up, because it really makes me think of how open Tori was with other people, maybe with production, about where she was with Jordan. Like, this clearly, they clearly were having problems right before the season, during the season. This wasn't like a new thing whenever they announced that they were breaking up. So it is interesting that this even factored in at all in any degree, not really from Tori, but at least at this point, but just from Fessy and just other people commenting that someone was into Tori. So I was like kind of surprised that it made air, and it kind of, I wonder if they were still together, would they have kind of cut this, or because maybe Fessy and Tori might be together now, do they toss this in? I don't know. It is interesting.
Well, we don't know if, like, maybe Tori and Fessy get together on the show. Like, maybe there's more to come about this clip. Right. But in a vacuum, if we didn't know that Tori and Jordan, I was calling him Justin, weird. Already forget erasing him, which is fine. If Tori and Jordan didn't end their engagement, I would have come in here and said, okay, this is like a lot of BS. Like, Tori's a gamer and she's allowed to flirt with guys to, like, win favor. Like, it's like a poverty move. It's like something we see a lot more in Survivor than the challenge. Like, we've only seen this from Fessy's perspective. Fessy's the one saying there's an attraction. Corey's saying, right, oh, he's always had a crush on her. And Tori's in trouble. She's feeding into it. Like, that's Corey's perception. And, you know, who knows when that confessional is cut. So I'm like all ready to come in here defending Tori here, that, like, she shouldn't be cast in this negative light for literally being in a hot tub with Anissa and Fessy. But we do know they break up, so we'll see more on that story.
Right. Yeah, totally agree. Because there was not one single comment from Tori about it throughout this, like, episode. Yeah, so other than the fact that we know the end result, that's the only thing that factors, but that's a pretty big end result. So
I want to check in with you about Teresa. This is, like, kind of really the first little bit of Teresa's game that we've seen. Correct me if I'm wrong. When she sort of, yeah, like, briefs Jay on her worries that he's going to be the next, whoops, go-to target.
Yeah, she's been pretty purple, and I kind of felt like we thought that going in, because she doesn't, you know, her big storyline coming into this season that she talked about was her feud with Nani, that was, like, from 3 or 4 years ago that no one even knew existed, that even when they explained, like, when she explained it, it didn't really amount to anything. So, you know, we questioned where she would fit in with people, what type of drama or excitement she would bring, and so far it's been nothing, and her challenge prowess has been okay. I mean, there's nothing to write home about, so it's so far been kind of expected from Teresa, just because this is such a new age crop and she's not part of this world anymore.
Yeah, I'm like, I guess you're right that, like, it's not surprising given the old feud, but, like, that's not a revived story, but I'm, like, a little disappointed. Maybe it's too soon to say that, episode 4.
Yeah, I mean, we still got to give her some time to see where she comes from here. Some of the other storylines have taken village. I'm sure she's going to have her big moment, big scene whenever she's into an, like, goes into an elimination that episode. So we'll see how that plays out. But for, yeah, for now, it's not too much to write home about. Even like throughout this episode, she had a couple scenes, but nothing really amounted
to them. I want to talk about Jay, but let's save that for later. I'm going to try to keep myself in check because one false chaotic move and I'll close my computer and go back to bed.
Can't have that.
Speaking of going to bed, I mean, in terms of like a downer, I don't want to say a downer, like it's, you know, I'm also a downer. The Big T and Devin conversation, honestly, one of my favorite moments of the season so far, and also the most unexpected moment. It just kind of came out of nowhere for me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we knew any of this, right, about Big T. Like, I don't think we knew any of her backstory to any degree, right? That, like, this, all of this was new information?
To me, and I was out here, like, when he says, I want to know the origin story of Big T, and she's like, well, I was 2 years old, and I was like, oh my God, I love Big T. Like, I would do that too. Like, well, let me start in 1991. Like, and then she's like telling this horrible story about how her brother died and her mom got cervical cancer and she was given basically to her aunt in the UK at 4. I mean, my God, I was totally unexpected, and I'm glad we got to see this moment. And it's a nice sort of tender moment for Devin too, before he goes off the rails.
Yeah, I mean, it's great that they're really showing this and making Big T like a real full-fledged character in the show, which kind of just shows that hopefully she really is going to be part of this world. As some of these other people that they come on and they're one and done, you know, we don't really get to know anything about them because they're so quickly off the show. But the fact that they're so willing to spend the time for us to get to know her is great. And I feel like she's really starting to become one of the, like, the main characters of the season, which I just never imagined was going to be a possibility for her. Like, I know she's charismatic and entertaining, but she, for someone who has very little chance of winning, but I don't know, maybe she has a higher chance than I think just because they're really focusing on her. It's amazing that she's been such a focal point of these first four episodes, every single episode.
And it's like, that is in the spirit of what we talk about as like the challenge getting too much like a professional sport. It's like the investment in Big T, and I've been low on Big T in the past, not personally, but I'm sort of like, she's got no chance. The best low T God, the best she could do is like, you know, have a bad partner and blame it on him. But the investment here, I agree, speaks to her longevity on the show. And I'm happier to view her as someone who's like the heart of the challenge as opposed to maybe the muscle when we learn this about her. And like, you know, as DDS myself, the Dead Dad Society, so they call me and my friends, but I appreciate this moment. There is something, I mean, everybody's gone through something, right? And like, there's a special bond when somebody speaks your language about your background. So I love this as like a Devin and Big T relationship. I feel bad that I said speaking of downers when I entered this, but you know, bear with me, people. I didn't want to be here. So.
Right. No, but it was a great scene. And then went really off the rails incredibly quickly. With Devin and Amber getting into a seemingly out of nowhere kerfuffle.
So I barely got here today, so I certainly didn't dig in social media. We don't have social media this week. Leave me alone. And leave Meg and Elizabeth alone. Because a lot of it's like going into people's Twitter, and then it was like a mix of like challenge content and insurrection content. I was just like, we're here. It's okay. But I wanted to know more because even just watching this, it's again, like we talked about it last 2 weeks ago, but like, it's clear we're missing part of the story, even for Devin, and Devin and Josh are maybe the only two people I would believe would pop off out of nowhere. Even for Devin, this was very strange to have this nice moment and then tell Amber to get out of the room and like harass her.
Yeah, especially because she didn't like say anything, do anything. And like, this was obviously a very emotional thing for Devin to talk about. It wasn't like they were talking about like nonsense. Like, obviously this is very emotional for Devin that he would talk about. And then flip the switch to this, it really even more so didn't make
sense. And the reason what I just said didn't make sense about Twitter, I was trying to find like Devin or Amber talking about it and I just couldn't. But somebody who listens to a couple challenge podcasts, maybe they got this from Torin and Nisa. I don't listen to Torin and Nisa's podcast because, you don't need us regurgitating like what you could hear on that podcast. You guys are probably already listening to it and you should be. But maybe they said it there. Like, it was somehow confirmed by a friend of mine that there was a fight with Amber prior to this conversation with Big T. Still a weird mood switch.
Yeah, very. And the fact it seemed like it was right after, because they both kind of emphasized like, we just had this emotional scene and he would flip the switch to this. So whether they had the fight right before or whatnot, it was still very odd to kind of pivot to that so quickly.
What's like Devin's angle here? Like, I'm very, because like Nelson comes to Devin and, you know, I have a lot of respect for Nelson in this moment where he's like, he's not, maybe he's coming at him a little wrong to be like, he's asleep. But generally, I think Nelson is like, why is my partner crying? What'd you do yesterday? Whatever. And Devin, it makes me laugh, honestly, when he's like, you need to come in here with a different energy. Like, that made me laugh. But he's being a jerk. And Devin says, oh, like, Amber's trying to get the target onto me. Now I'm targeting them. Please explain to me how Devin's perception of these two interactions is that they're trying to target him.
Yeah, I don't know. And I want to, like, Nelson, I think he actually handled this perfectly, because he didn't seem to, like, accuse Devin of anything. He's just like, I just want to know what happened. Can you explain what happened? And like, he just wouldn't get an answer. But this is kind of Devin. Like, Devin is kind of like the instigator, dick kind of guy. So, like, the fact that he would push this forward, it's not really out of character, because Devin does this type of stuff with people all the time. He loves to manipulate and mess around and get in people's heads and like do stuff that kind of causes chaos. So it does kind of fit to Devin's MO that he would be vague and like toss around and not give a direct answer.
Brian dropping a hard D in the chat.
Yeah, well.
But okay.
It's been a day.
It's been a day. It's been a lifetime. Okay. Let's talk about, yeah, but I agree, like, but usually I feel like we do get a Devin confessional of, like, owning that part of it. Maybe I'm wrong. I feel like I say, like, Josh owns it at the reunion, and everyone's like, what are you talking about? Like, my impression of Devin is that he, like, is an instigator and then goes to the confessionals and was like, watch me get Nelson instigated, and then goes back to it. It was weird that he had this, like, weird version of it that Amber is trying to target him.
Yeah, but I mean, there were definitely a lot of people's motivations that I didn't fully understand this episode. So Devin is definitely,
I guess, the day that we really understand everyone on the show's motivation is the day we have to hang up our mics. Like, we get a reality.
I always understand. Usually in the final, I can understand it. You just get the A to B. That's the motivation. Everything else sometimes is a blur.
Let's get to the challenge. Speaking of blurs, Liv goes out in a blur. I mean, we get one shot of her with a sling on and it's like, oh, is that still a problem? And then she's gone.
Gone. See ya. And never again.
Well, right? Rogan, you know, Rogan.
Yeah.
I had a feeling about Rogan, though. I'm on a podcast somewhere saying I don't think he's done. And I don't feel that way about Liv. I think we didn't know her at all. We know much more about Gabby than we know about Liv.
Yeah, there's a few people this season that have even less airtime than Liv had. Like, I just would not to, like, jump ahead, but when they showed the picture of the people who voted and the other Amber's face was up there, I was like, who is that? I don't remember that person. And I had to look, I was like, oh
my God, the disrespect Amber. To Amber Berzotra.
I know. Well, but maybe she gets on camera once.
Wait, remember we were supposed to have Rob on like week two?
Oh yeah, that was supposed to be the goal. Well, good thing it wasn't this week. Well, we'll worry about that.
Well, I think if we're worried about it next week, it's too late.
Well, 2 weeks.
All right, you're in charge. All right, so we find out that Michi's gonna be a rogue agent. Michi says, and again, I'm a big fan of Michi's confessionals. He's worried he's going to get a partner he doesn't want. Dial tone. Like, who could Michi not want?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think some of the girls are worried they're going to get a partner they don't want. I feel like that's could be the bigger issue.
But we'll see what happens to Meech. My brother just asked if we would. He said he had no questions this week. And then at the last minute, here's a text. Would you trust anyone outside of Tori and Devin to deliver your Amazon packages via drone? Perfect timing. Let's talk about the main challenge.
Oh, my God. Does he have like a, is he a listening in or something? That was creepy timing.
The synergy between that and and the NGOG this week. I know you didn't listen yet, but on New Girl Old Guy, we were talking about drones, and I asked Akiva to guess how many of my friends does he think have drones. So listen to the answer on NGOG, anchor.fm/newgirloldguy.
She's not a professional for nothing, folks.
I'm not a professional at all. But I couldn't believe drones would show up 2 days after I talked about them on another podcast.
Right. What a week for drones.
I thought drones kind of already had their moment. I was kind of surprised to see them in the challenge now.
Yeah, and I think after this week, we will never see them again, because boy, oh boy, was this challenge a bust.
Kareem Clark says, did production not test out the daily challenge beforehand, or did everyone just royally suck at it?
Like, I know they test them out when they're super dangerous and stuff for safety reasons, but maybe they were like, eh, whatever, no one's going to get hurt doing this one, so let's see how it goes. Because, I mean, I thought there was a chance that every single team was just going to fail. And then I was like, how are they going to, is it going to be like, who failed, who lasted the longest before they failed? Is that how the winner is going to be determined? Because that would have been absolutely amazing.
So I don't even think if this challenge went off without a hitch, it would have been interesting. Like, I didn't like this challenge regardless. It's a case for, like, on Big Brother, they'll be able to practice sometimes in the backyard before, like, the live show. This was a major case for, like, everyone being able to get a test run off air beforehand, like, so that they could get accustomed to the drone. Because I think that's the problem. If you've never flown a drone before, like, obviously you're not going to be able to navigate it sight unseen through a dark cave. Right. That's insane.
Yeah, even doing this with something you're very comfortable with, relying on someone else to guide you on a remote, is, it's got to be incredibly difficult. So yeah, I don't know what they were thinking. And I love how, like, the contestants had to really hype it up, like, oh, this is the coolest place I've ever been in. Like, you're in a cave. Like, I feel like they've had to be in cooler places. The house is cool.
I just had anxiety because I was so bad. What was that, like, flying man game on Facebook that was like Flappy Bird, but it was like on Facebook, it was like Jet Man. You know what I'm talking about? And you had the man before, and you had to go, like,
before my time.
Before your time. You're older than me.
The youths.
After your time.
After my time.
No, it's like Jetman Facebook. And it was like a big deal because, like, if you advance to a certain point, you'd get like a different guy. I don't know, whatever. It's basically like Flappy Bird. You know the game where you, like, click it to go up and avoid, like, the stalactites and the stalagmites? I'm so trash at those. It's, like, humiliating.
Well, it would fit in with this group then, because only Devin and Tori completed it. So good for them. Everyone else, I guess TJ enjoyed himself, which, you know, that helped. But no one else.
Yeah,
did.
Molly Block says, Molly Block said, is a really shitty challenge worth it if it includes TJ giggling the entire time?
It's a fair question. I mean, he definitely saved it. Like, seeing TJ enjoying people's failure is always a plus, so that helped this cause. But I prefer it when it's like something else is going on other than people flying a remote control plane into a wall.
Here's a hot take. TJ laughing at their failures is going to be overused if they keep doing things like this. Like, there have been multiple challenges now where the only hook is TJ laughs at you. And I love it. Don't come for me. Don't at me. I love it. But it's almost like the You Killed It. Like, it will lose its power over time. The new viewers don't even know what You Killed It means. And let's not tell them. That's for us. Nah. But
but what's funny was, I don't, the problem is, like, this wasn't supposed to be that challenge. Like, this, there was no way that they were going into this. Like, oh, TJ is going to love watching them fail. Like, I think they thought everyone would be able to
I think
this.
They had to know that some people were going to crash. Like, I don't think they expected all of this, but I feel like they had to know they were going to get a couple good crashes.
Probably, but like, TJ's laughter is usually more for, like, physical pain. Like, he's like the Home Alone comedy fan, not the technology fan.
That's fine. You definitely understand TJ more than I do. But let's take this opportunity to talk about Tori and Devin, because they do win here. I did love how TJ gave out the win as, like, the people who did it in the fastest time were them. They were the only ones who did it.
Yeah. I'm glad he told them that, because I was going to be like, well, what are you really going to keep him in suspense? There's only one team that could possibly win.
Geez, I have questions and I can't find them because I put them somewhere else. So sorry to these people. Oh, Tom Palmer says, which is more believable? Tori and Devin really hate each other. Josh want to face Nelly and Hall Brawl. Let's talk about that part later. But we got a lot of questions that were like, how fake is Devin and Tori's enemy ship rivalry, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely not like friends, clearly. I would say they're not like hitting each other up to hang out. But yeah, they're definitely, there's no hatred there. Like whenever they're at the, you know, one of them's playing up like, oh, this is the greatest place on earth. And I think Devin was like, yeah, well, I'm here with you. And Tori's like, oh, yeah, that too. Like she, like they're playing it up for the camera. But I mean, they're definitely not friends. So there's that at least.
Yeah, like Devin is a person that Tori like wouldn't like and vice versa. Like they don't have anything in common. They were on a show together where they didn't get along. Okay. But they definitely don't have a real rivalry, but it's kind of cute. Like it's kind of funny to see they definitely have different interests in the game alliance wise. So that's interesting to see bear fruit later. But no, it's like going to be annoying, I think, if it continues the whole time or if they try to make it like a real, I hated him and now I rely on him like bullshit thing. Like, I think I like it where it is now.
Yeah. And I think it'll last as long. I mean, they kind of set it up. It'll last as long as Tori goes into elimination. Because whenever Tori goes in, either she'll be eliminated, and obviously that'll end it, or she'll win, and she'll change partner. So I think, you know, that's how long this will last for.
Tori's, like, the sort of descent into dislikability for Tori, I'm just so worried about. I like her friendship with Anissa. I think that her stock's going up there. But when she starts coming in with a little bit of power, it's very shades of last season where she was so focused on like beating Jenna and having Jenna quit and go against me or emotionally weak. And like she told me she wanted to quit. Like Tori, I know it's hard and Tori's playing a good strategic game to be thinking like this. But when we look at Tori and we see a really strong, dominant female competitor, it like sucks to see her so like, you're weak and why aren't the weak people? Why aren't the strong people targeting the weak people? Like, why can't I easily get my skull? It's like, ooh.
Yeah, even Big T calling her out, you know? Not, she doesn't like going after the quote unquote weak people. And the Tori, I mean, like, I think Tori's great. But can she like win something first before she's like putting herself amongst all these other people? Like, you know, win a season. And then you can like, all right, go after the week.
Well,
people.
She's really, I think, hopped up on beating Jenny in Hall Brawl because she's like, oh, Vitabra. So it's like you could lose on any day to Jenny just like you won to Jenny. Like, you know, like it's like if Jay were like, I want CT, it'll be easy. Like, no.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Josh is like, he'll beat Jay. He's so delirious. Ugh,
we'll get to Josh. Maybe we'll skip it for our mental health. Devin's hit list, though, is hysterical to me. Because while Tori's only thinking about who she can beat easily, Devin's out here only focused on those who have wronged him and Big Brother. Okay, I was going to rattle off the names.
I was going to say, he lists half the house. So he's against a lot of people. And obviously, he's like, that's like eight
and
people.
And not everyone is the partnered, which is hilarious. So it's Josh, Nelson, right. Amber, Leroy, Casey, Amber, Darrell, and Fessy. If you're against Leroy, that must include Cam, right? Like, if you're against Josh, how does that not include Nani? If you're against Fessy, where's Anissa? So it's like he's targeting 20 people team-wise.
Yeah. And like protecting like three teams, I guess. Like he's got a very close knit group, and he
hates everyone
else.
I only dislike people who have wronged me, and it's like a 3,000 person list.
And Big Brother.
And Big Brother people, exactly. When we went to Club Friendship, I didn't understand why we were getting this sort of like Nelson, Corey, Fessy dancing together, bros. Like, we want to be in the final together. And then obviously at the end, it became clear.
Right.
Did you just think this was a nice moment or were you starting to get a little suspicious?
I mean, it was a weird moment to hear like Fessy being like, are these my boys? But I didn't think it would pay off this episode. I thought maybe it would be something that would come back up, you know, in a few episodes down the line. But I definitely didn't expect it to pop up, you know, 20 minutes later.
I feel like Fessy kind of thinks as Nelson is like a friend of a friend. Like, they're really strong three, but they're both closer to Corey. But
I think so. What degree of friendship is going to a gender reveal party? That's like pretty high up, right? Because I feel like, you know, how many people do you invite to a gender reveal party? Like, what's the level of friendship to be included in that?
as if I didn't watch this whole vlog about the gender reveal party for Taylor. Like, well, let's discuss. I don't know, right? Because if you, I thought you were going to say what, I feel like it's nothing to really be invited, but it's a lot to go to, like, fly to. But if you consider clout both ways, that it's, I believe they genuinely are friends and they genuinely like each other, but, like, you know, maybe people pays more for the story if there's more cast members there, or maybe Fessy gets more Instagram likes if he's at, with Corey at, or with Ryder K at this baby thing, you know.
Is Hunter still part of their the Young Buck crew?
I know nothing about Cohen Bryan or his father.
Disappointing.
This is still the most unbelievable. I feel like you should explain that for the new listeners.
So Hunter, previously Challenge cast member, previously Are You the One cast member, he had a kid last year, and he named his kid first name Cohen with a K, middle name Brian. So it was Cohen Bryan, I think Barfield, right? So Cohen Bryan
outrageous.
Barfield. That is outrage. I mean, that's like, I mean, Cohen is not like it, my name was, you know, Brian Adam, and he named his kid Adam Brian. Like, it's not, it's weird, but it's not that crazy. Like, Cohen is not a first name, let alone with a K.
I would still lose it if he named it Adam. But
it would be crazy, but at least it's like, all right, that's a conceivable name.
But you know what we didn't realize? I think Hunter's middle name is also Brian, because didn't Kiki used to say Hunter Brian? I think that's right. I think I just had an Are You the One memory from 10 years ago.
I hope so. I still stand Hunter by
Brian.
Cohen.
If anyone remembers name. Hunter Brian, please let me know. All right, I'll stop saying that so people don't turn this off. What do you think of the strategy between Tori and Devin coming from opposite sides to pick three untouchable teams?
Well, that's clearly the rule. Devin said that. That's the rule. You get three. No more. No less, you get three. So that was laid out very clearly. I mean, I guess it makes sense. I just love that they're doing, like, they obviously they had time before they, like, get dressed up and drink, and they have time maybe the next morning. I just love that they're doing this scene, like, when they're quote-unquote out and drinking. Like, that's so like, if you ever wanted to describe the challenge, like, that's it. Like, they do their discussions of who they're going to vote out when they're drunk at a club.
Why not?
It's perfect.
That's where I do all my best thinking. Pre-pandemic.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But I mean, I guess it's the easiest and fairest way to do, right? Is you each get a few teams that you can protect, and then you whittle it down from there.
Tori's is so random to me. Like, I very much understand how CT, Kyle, and Nam are Devin's, like, only options. And I get their partners, Big T, Lolo, and Cam gets brought in with that. But Leroy and Casey, Corey, and God, who is Corey's partner now? Who'd he end up with from the switch? A good partner, yikes. I thought. Natalie. Corey and Natalie.
Yes.
Leroy and Casey and Anissa and Fessy. Like, what a crew for Tori to have ended up. If I were to tell you that those would be, like, the three untouchables for Tori, Leroy, Corey, and Anissa, I would be like, what season are you watching?
Yeah, it's interesting how these pairings have come together, some by chance, some by luck, some by planning. It's weird how the lines have kind of
and it is
out.
True what Fessy's saying. I mean, not about being able to be into Tori, but that Tori without Jordan has a lot more options. People always liked Tori, and people only didn't want to work with her because of Jordan. So it's interesting to see the inroad she's making without him. But I do love how she's like, wait, can we actually also take Nani off the table? And everyone's like, no, like, that's the whole point.
Well, the max three. They'll give backs.
Skipping the Fessy and Gabby stuff till we have to talk about it. There's nothing between them. I don't want to have to talk about them.
Yeah, we'll put a pin in it, see if it comes back.
All right, let's talk about Josh and Jay. Haley says, why is Josh such a dum-dum? I mean, he says he's got a gut feeling that he doesn't trust Jay. I have a gut feeling too, Joshy boy. It's that you want an excuse to be able to go against the, quote, weakest guy in the house, even though he's your ally. And that's why we're seeing this.
Yep. Yeah, And because like, if you did actually have a gut feeling not to trust him, you wouldn't be so upfront to him that you can't trust him. You would like go along with it, but keep it in the back of your head not to trust him. And down the line, you can make your move. You wouldn't go straight to his face, be like, eh, I don't know if I can trust you. That's not what you do. You're making it public so you have your reasoning to go in against him.
You know what would be amazing and would make Josh a good person to have on the show is if Josh,
if he changes everything about him.
I think if Josh just did this one thing, but it would require self-awareness. And if he were self-aware, he probably wouldn't be him. But if he was in a confessional, largely what I credit Devin for doing, Wes, even Bananas, like if he were to say Cam does this really well, I and my team, Casey, is working with Jay, but I need to get my skull. And Jay is my best shot. So I'm about to go pick a fight with Jay to justify it so that it doesn't even look like my idea that I go against him. Watch me work. And then he did this fight. We would be celebrating it. Because it's not a bad move. It's a good move. Yes, he doesn't really need Jay's loyalty. He's got numbers. So why not get his skull against someone he thinks he could beat? But it's so insufferable that it's like the Rob Cesternino. Like, don't lie to us. Like, Josh is lying to himself. I think he truly believes that he doesn't, quote, trust Jay.
Yeah. And what's more frustrating is he sort of said like what you want him to say. Like he hinted the fact that, oh, you know, I feel like I could beat Jay in elimination, which is fine. But like, as you said, like just go along with it. But I think Josh just has to like convince himself so deeply of these things, like wanting to fight CT, wanting to go against Nelson and Hall Brawl so he can be dramatically upset. Like he just has to convince himself. Otherwise, he just doesn't know how to act.
And that's even like, frustrating, because later he says like, oh, like I feel better, I trust Nelson more, so I want to go against Jay. It's like, no, okay. But let's talk about Jay, because I thought Jay really handles this very impressively. Robbie Freeman says, with this episode, I'm ready to make Jay a regular cast member. I don't know if I'm going to go that far. He's funny, gives great reaction shots, and can mix it up fight-wise. Thoughts? I thought Jay handled this chef's kiss expertly.
Yeah. Because I think we kind of talked about this last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever last time Josh had a fight. When you yell it with Josh, you're only making yourself look bad. Because everyone knows Josh is crazy. Everyone knows Josh is overly dramatic and does it for show. So if you stoop down to his level, you're just making yourself look bad. So Josh being like the able to play a straight man, I'm like, who is this loser? I don't know. I'm not dealing with him. He comes across looking great. So
I think
great.
This is Jay's sort of survivor skills, where he even gives such a good response when he's like, Jay's like, you're good with Devin, aren't you? And Jay goes, not like I'm cool with you. Like, what an expert response very quickly. And Josh is trying to like poke holes in him and he can't get him riled up. Let's talk about it. I'm good with you. All of Josh's allies can see that Jay's remaining calm, not defensive, not popping off. If they get into a fight and Jay lets it escalate, like, all the more reason to throw them both in. You're causing drama in the house. Maybe Jay is suspect. Why are you screaming at Josh? You know what I mean? Like, it could only backfire. Yep. And Jay just like, I mean, I think it's a testament to Jay that he doesn't get voted in here.
Yeah, and he easily could have, because like you said, if he blows up in a fight, then Josh really rallies his troops. That he does have some, you know, people that support him that would get behind him and try to vote Jay in. So Jay, he did it great.
All right, deliberate house vote. Anything to say about this?
It was interesting to see one of these play out where there was not like a clear person that was going to be voted in. So that was fun to see play out. I love Natalie at least getting in a little bit of the mix of like the kind of the survivor mindset. Like, are we sure it's a guy's day? I mean, it was pretty clear it was going to be a guy's day, but I like her thinking that, oh, maybe it's not. Maybe it could be something else. So little good sign there from Natalie.
Yeah, I like Nelson's efforts also to be like, you know, be smart. This is a guy's day for sure. And also don't estimate my partner. And I love Leroy. Leroy does his best work at these deliberations in response.
Yeah, he's very,
I'm proud
very
of my
funny.
Partner too, but like, we don't want to go down. Yep. Congrats very to Leroy funny. Opening up his own like barber studio in Houston. He posted a video. Looks great. Good for Leroy.
Good for him. Go Leroy.
We watched his whole journey from like starting out, starting out as a barber and growing his business. So look at that.
Yeah. Go Leroy, go.
I love Nelson here saying I can't sacrifice for myself or someone else. It sounds like he's repeating a mantra someone told him after last season. Like, okay, you cannot ruin your game for your friends.
Yep. And once again, Lolo just, you know, to the, by the book. I know other people said it after, but she was the first one. At least they showed it, like, very specifically saying, I vote to compromise these agents. She's sticking to the script of what, like, they probably tell her. You go in, you say who you want to compromise. Everyone else is like, I vote for this person, I vote for this person. Nope. Lolo, following the rules. Love to see it.
I love Lolo. We didn't get a lot of her this week, but I still stand.
Yeah, her and her just going like the quick thing that they had during the challenge, like they're trying to communicate and Lolo being super intense. They're a great team. They're one of the more, that you only get a little bit of them, which is kind of perfect. I think if we got too much of Lolo and Nam, it might get a little, I can't have a good word, but they're not good. But like they're little small snippets.
I love, yeah, he's like, Lolo's a great communicator. And then you get to Lolo being like, yep, yep, keep going, keep going, keep going. So Mari and Connor also kind of raised this question, but this is Mari's question. We all assume the house voted in Nelson and Amber M because they thought it was a girl's day. However, we just saw this happen last week. They even said, TJ even said Michi would be getting a new partner at the crater. I think that was a huge hint it was going to be a guy's day. Who do you think the house / Nelson's ally should have voted in instead? Was it a mistake to vote in? When we get the decoded results, Gabby, Anissa, CT, Big T, Nani, Casey, Amber B, Lolo, Nam, Natalie, Jay, and Teresa voted them in. Did anyone make a mistake here trying to target Amber and get Nelson instead?
So these people, their voting motivations, they were voting in, like, I don't know how they could possibly think they were just voting in Amber. I felt like, I know Natalie brought it up, but it was so very clear it was gonna be a guy's day. So I don't understand anyone who voted here that was thinking it was strictly to just get out Amber. So if that was their motivation, that they made like a horrific mistake.
I think certain people are making votes where they only care about their same gender person. Like, I think that's where Natalie's vote. I was surprised because Natalie's partner's best friend is Nelson. But Natalie, I think's attitude is, this is an individual game and I'm only gonna vote down people where I want to face the woman if I end up going in. And I think that's where Fessy's vote ends up coming from. Like, I'm voting in Kyle because if I have to beat Kyle, I will. So maybe that's it. Maybe that's the mindset some people have, which I actually think is a smart mindset, is I'll clip my partner. I don't care. I'm only going in against, I'm only voting people I care about. Now, Nani was a surprise to me because that means she didn't vote the way Josh, I'm sorry. She must have voted for Jay. Ignore me. Blah, blah, blah. Sorry.
No, Nani voted for Nelson.
That's what I meant to say. Okay, sorry. Nani, I should believe when I take the time to think about things, I should trust myself. Nani voted against Josh's wishes here, which is also interesting. Maybe Nani's taking the same approach.
It could be. Yeah, so Josh wanted Jay. That's who he wanted. See, so I guess Nani's kind of close with Jay, right? So I think that's probably why she wouldn't go along with that.
And I don't think, if, you know, worst case scenario, I don't think she wants to go against Teresa.
Right. Her longstanding feud.
I love the little Nelson and Corey, like, oh, I thought picking a rookie would be good. And Corey was like, why? It's like a classic Corey reacting to something like dumb but cute that Nelson did.
Yeah. Corey's had kind of a quiet season so far. We'll see how that, I'm sure his time will come, but so far he's been a little quiet.
Yeah, but I love him. Everything he does, I love.
Yeah, no, of course.
I think we do get a final understanding of if they know who's compromised when they go in or not, because Fessy seems to find out right at this moment before the crater. So forget last week was very confusing otherwise. I think this week we know. They don't know until they get there.
No, I think they do know. I feel like they knew.
Well, see, Jay, do we get a clip of Jay saying, please don't let us be the compromised agents? And then we get this interaction that ends up being pretty much, could have just been the whole episode, could have just been this one interaction, the elimination, where Fessy catches up with Tori walking in and says, do you want to send me in? When he sees that it's Hallbrawl, and Tori says, it's Nelly. I thought that meant she's telling him it's Nelson. Like, you didn't know, but it's Nelson. And he says, send me in.
Oh, I thought maybe I'm going crazy. I thought there was a conversation where it was clear that Nelson was being voted in already. Like, they knew that going in. Maybe now I need to rewatch. Because I thought there was a scene right before going to elimination where they're like, it's Nelson.
Well, it's Nelson was Tori when they were walking into the critter.
But even before that.
Oh, then I missed that because all I saw was Jay doing at the gym saying, please don't let us be the compromise agents. And this conversation.
I thought that just meant, I thought the Jay stuff and like the Josh stuff getting themselves motivated. I thought that was about them being voted like the.
Okay. Vote, well, maybe like, I missed Tori it, but I thought this was like the information. All right. So we still don't know. Whatever. I think a viewer probably knows, but between Brian and I, we don't know.
yep. Add it to the question thread.
But I have a question. In the past, weren't the, I forget all their names, the double agents told if it was a men's or women's day before they decided to go in?
Yeah, I really thought so. That's a great point. I was like, I thought they always say like, it's a guy's day. And that's how like, when it was like Fessy should have gone in, like he knew it was his day to go in. I really think they kind of like left him out the squirm a little bit here because they usually
and rule changes on the fly, people. But it is annoying.
Yeah.
I like that Tori stood down, although it would have been really interesting if it was a girl's day and then Tori was pissed at Devin.
But then also it's like, so all right, so the downside that Tori, if they vote separately, they're saying you go down automatically. That's what Tori wanted. So why wouldn't she just vote for herself?
Do we know that? I thought Devin was saying, I think we'll end up going down, but we don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's saying that because that's been the precedent, right? Whenever there's been like a pair team and they vote differently, the threat is.
I mean, you get a revote, and I think Devin would flop on the revote just to not go in himself. That would be my guess.
Well, he couldn't flop because if Tori voted, like the flopping would be voting for himself, right? Because Tori wants to go in.
Oh, so you're saying her vote is we go in and his vote is separate. I see what you're saying.
Right. So worst case, I don't know what could be worse theoretically than themselves going in. So why wouldn't she just push it to see what
happens? Maybe she did understand that it was most likely that it would be a men's day, but a possibility that it's a her day and she wants Hallbrawl so bad. But she's not willing to totally screw him up. I mean, I think she makes the right move because she could be pissed at him if not, but she'll get other chances. And otherwise, like, she really ruins his entire game if she's wrong. It's like high risk, high reward.
Yeah, but I mean, for Tori, like, worst. Okay, so Devin goes in, gets eliminated, and she gets a new partner.
She kind of looks like a jerk. Like the people don't seem to care this season about looking like a jerk.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they're best friends. Like, I mean, Fessy does it to his best friend, and like he's gonna be able to come back into the house. So what is Tori care? She's gonna ditch him the second she gets a chance.
Maybe it's all theater because like Josh, then you know, okay, she says we're gonna look out for friends and help them get a skull. He wants it. We're gonna put in Anissa and Fessy, and then Josh, Travis Orton says, is Fessy the worst strategic? Oh, sorry. That's not what I meant to say. Alex Tria says, who works harder, Fessy burning all his bridges or Josh fabricating as many rivals as possible? Josh fake begging to go in is like the most frustrating thing of all time. My friend said that Tori confirmed that was theater and that he arranged with Tori, like, I'm going to freak out. Don't send me in, as though we didn't know that. Yeah. But it's like, right. So maybe it's theater that Tori's like, oh, I really want to go in. Devin, are you sure? Are you sure? Okay, fine. And then.
Yeah, I mean, that's possible, but it's possible.
But okay, Fessy goes in despite his friend being in the elimination. Travis Orton says, is Fessy the worst strategic player in reality television? Certainly Big Brother makes a good case.
Right. So, I mean, it's tough because obviously, if you think about it, Fessy's really gone about this as bad as poorly as you can to get a skull. But he's got one. I can't imagine anyone really going after him going forward. Like, it's very risky to do it. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it worked. Like, he's got a very good chance to make a final now.
Yeah, in a vacuum, it's a great move. It's, I'm going to go against someone I can beat. No one's going to ever call me in with my skull. Who's going to want to face me? Someone might put them in, but that's a whole different story. Like, nobody's going to ask for me. And And I get rid of a competitor. Like, it's kind of stupid that Corey Nelson and Fessy all want to go to the end together, right? Like, you should want to go to the end. You want to take people out. So I, and he upgrades his partner. Sorry to Anissa. Like, it's a win-win-win for Fessy, except that who's going to trust him? Who's going to want to work with him? His friend's going to be pissed at him. We have a million questions about the fallout from this for Fessy.
Yeah, I think by far the bigger deal is where Fessy sits going forward, like after the season. Because I think this season he's still, I would say, the most likely male to win for sure. Especially now that he has a skull. I think one of the bigger things going into the season was maybe he's kept out of getting a skull. But now that he has one, he's right back at the top of the list of most likely to win. It's just now next season and the season after, like, does he have allies? Because I can't imagine Nelson coming back to him. And if Nelson doesn't, I can't imagine Corey. So, like, I guess he's got his big brother people, but I feel like a lot of them are kind of pissed at him too. So I don't know where Fessy fits.
Where does Fessy fit? He's a big guy. It's hard to fit him in. But all right, Hall Brawl, sure. Shout out to Nelson. He really puts up a good fight. He makes it close. Fessy playing mad dirty, honestly, which is frustrating. Susie says, should the elimination have been stopped when Fessy pulled off Nelson's eye shield? It feels like they should have replaced his safety equipment and reset.
Yeah, I think they easily could have. It was one thing when people were saying he's playing dirty, but the fact that TJ specifically said no more dirty play, that means like whatever he was doing, production did view as dirty. So if they did view it that way, then they should have just pause it and reset and go from there.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it kind of goes to the, like, things are getting too dangerous. Like, stop and reset. I don't like TJ having to be like, oh, next time you do that, like, no more dirtiness, whatever. That's how he said. I'm tired. Okay. So Nelson goes out honestly looking like a hero, blindsided, puts up a great fight. Robbie Freeman says, with this, has Nelson surpassed CT to become the most loathsome character to take a face turn where the whole audience will be actively rooting for him going forward?
I mean, I've never really hated Nelson. So for me, I've always been at least indifferent and usually pro Nelson. So if everyone else wants to jump on board,
there's no way that's true. You have not always been neutral or pro Nelson.
Well, I've been anti some things he's said, but I've appreciated his enjoyment and appreciation of the show.
You've been I would say, and people can weigh in, that you've been anti Nelson with the acknowledgement that his reverence for the challenge is great.
Yep. And I still think there's a probably good chance next season Nelson will do something that'll piss a lot of people off, but I want to still be in his corner for now. It's with everyone on the show. It's always a for now type of thing.
Well, with Nelson, I mean, his stock has really been on the rise with what he did with Corey. And just generally, like, I think he's really turned it around. And then now we get that. Like, it's just everyone feels bad for him. You're mad at Fessy. It's universal belovedness. Like, I'm high on Nelson when he comes back next season. But I think it's been in the works since before this. But it definitely helps. All right. A ton of rapid fire questions about Fessy here. Ready for this?
Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom.
Jeff Satora says, are there any positives of the move for Fessy outside of a future invite back? I can't think of any. Maybe we covered that.
I mean, he has a red skull. Gold skull. Sorry. Just got that.
He's got a skull. I mean, I think we agree that he's extremely well positioned for the rest of the season, because who's going to want to go against him? Sorry.
Yeah, better partner too. He's got Casey. I love his reasoning that he was like doing it for me. So like, oh, someone's going to take me eventually, so I'm going to get ahead of it. That was so horrible.
Also, the way, but Corey, I vow to get revenge. Like, I could see Corey, though, you know, a lot of people won't want to face him, but a lot of teams will want to put him in to try to get rid of him. So
yeah, it's interesting because, yeah, it'll just be a question of how he goes in, because I think if enough of the house could rally behind it, it can happen, but still someone needs to go in. So if someone's willing to take the bullet and really go after him, yeah. I mean, I think he probably will have to do another elimination, but we'll see.
I mean, my question is, what's in Corey's best interest? Because I think there's a high chance of Corey and Natalie winning at least one challenge in the future. And the question for me is Corey better served putting Nelson in and like taking the shot for revenge? And, you know, Natalie loves some good, well-timed revenge. Or is Corey better served in the future of the challenge? And I think he's a smart guy who can think about this, making up with Fessy for appearances, because Fessy is better on his side than against him.
All those are good questions. And I guess another fair argument could be like, do you think you have a better chance against Fessy in maybe a crapshoot elimination than you do in a final? Like, maybe you're like, all right, you know what? This is my chance to actually win if I take him out here. So I'll do it here.
Here's an interesting question from Michelle Marshy. Why is everyone so high on Fessy and Casey, even before they became partners? They both had poor showings in the final last season. Kyle blew Fessy out of the water. Their Big Brother alliance is volatile and not very strategic thinking. Besides being able to win a physical fight, what are their strengths? Is Fessy overrated?
I don't think so. I mean, Kyle blew him out of the water. I don't know. I guess I need to go back and check the tapes on that. I don't think he blew him out of the water. And Casey, I feel like Casey was like right there with Jenny and then just like really screwed up like part of the puzzle or a race. And
but
like,
that matters. Like, but that matters.
No, it totally matters. Yeah. No, it totally matters. Absolutely, it matters. But I also think, you know, Jenny is probably one of the best people to ever do this. So losing to her is no slouch. And Casey, I mean, just their backgrounds. Like, they're not like all of a sudden doing well on the show. Like, they're both former football players that are very athletic. They're coming on a show with people who aren't, I mean, they're athletes now, but they're not like trained athletes. Like, these people were trained athletes. So obviously they're going to have a leg up.
So I would say that I'd rather take a shot against Fessy in the final than a one-on-one elimination if I'm in it. If I'm Corey and putting Fessy in, yeah, like, sure, I'll take a shot that someone else can get him out. My question is just like, the relationship with Fessy is probably more valuable to him game-wise than the revenge. But we'll see.
Yep.
I mean, I'd love to see Corey Fessy, and that would be sweet. Don says, thoughts on Fessy becoming the new villain? Good game move or too early?
See, the problem with, I would love if Fessy would be a villain, but as everyone on the show has ever said, like, he's just so uncharismatic. Like, he'd be like the worst Bond villain. Like, he would have to be someone that, like, you just never hear from. And he's like, if it's like the banker from Deal or No Deal became a villain, like, that's Fessy's upside. If he's just a shadow in the distance. Because once he starts talking, it's like, I mean, there's no there.
Could the person, the great social media person who cuts clips for the show sometimes, could this be the clip that you cut, please? The banker, if the banker from Deal or No Deal became a Bond villain. Amazing. But I think, honestly, the banker has a better strategic mind, so I don't know what Fessy's bringing here.
He's very analytical.
Okay, Ashley Bedazzlewood says, will anyone actually want to work with Fessy in future challenges after this? The thing with this for me is, like, Fessy is so, you know, better the devil you know. Like, Fessy's not going to, like, outwit you and manipulate you. Like, there is a physical elimination. He wanted it regardless of who it was against, period. Like, I think that this is shitty. Like, if I'm Nelson, I'm real life mad at this. But I don't think I'm not working with Fessy in the future. He's extremely transparent and a very good physical person to have on your side.
Yeah, he's going to win stuff, and you want people on your side that win stuff. I mean, Bananas and West were screwing people over for like 2 decades, and it took people like 2 decades to be like, actually, you know what? Let's not work with them. So I think Fessy can win some people back.
And Fessy is malleable. Like, he's just the brawn. Like, he needs the brains. Like, honestly, if this leads to Devin and Fessy working together, which I don't really, like, I don't think Fessy's going to feel like he owes Devin one. But if Fessy gets desperate and has to sort of join forces with Devin, I think that's a lethal combination, Devin and Fessy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like Freak the Mighty. Did you ever read that?
Yeah.
Did you ever read Freak the Mighty?
I did not. No.
It's like a small kid gets bullied and a big kid gets bullied. And so the small kid rides on his shoulders and becomes the Freak the Mighty. Anyway.
Yeah. That's like Kicking
Maybe
and Screaming.
Maybe it's a cancelable book. I'm not sure. Combo.
Yeah.
That I haven't seen. Our references are just, I'm too highbrow with my literary children's book references. Anyway. Yeah.
Going over my head.
All right. Tara from Sydney says, has Fessy completely destroyed his game for the season now? We did talk about this. Sorry. Michelle Marshy says, this season's amazing, but if Fessy wins, it'll really tarnish it for me. That's interesting. Like, let's take stock of the crowd here. Like, who are you rooting for? Is there anyone you really don't want to win?
Don't want to win. I mean, I think the good thing about Fessy, like, I mean, not the good thing, but like, at least he's not like a horrible person, at least right now. Like, he may be screwing people over, but he's not like being an asshole and like name calling and saying disparaging things. Like,
like, he's not like a villain. Like, right now he's like, okay. And if he goes on to win, like, yeah, that's cool. Like, the quote unquote bad guy won. That's sometimes fun to see. And then goes around the next season. So in terms of who I'm not, like, I'm not really rooting against, I guess Josh, I'm rooting actively against, but that's just because I find him very annoying. Everyone else, I'm not really rooting against. I'm not really rooting for anyone right now. I would love to see Corey win, but I feel like, I mean, it's the same typical people that we kind of want to see win. Nothing really new.
Yeah. No, that's fair. All right. Carolyn Alum says, could Fessy have chosen Tori as his partner or no, since she was a double agent? If he could have, do you think he considered it? Was he always picking Casey? So just a rule clarification, you cannot upset the apple cart with the double agents. You cannot pick the double agent pair.
Yep.
Were you surprised he made the switch? No.
I was not surprised he made the switch. I do think he would have taken Tori if Tori was on the board. For sure. Actually, not for sure. I think Casey probably was his top pick going in, especially because that's who. I think he probably would have picked Casey no matter what. But Tori would have probably been like the 1A choice.
I don't mind this pick from Fessy. I think he's the one that we have said from the beginning would be a definite switch when he goes in. So I was not surprised. Casey is a pick. I do think maybe it is sort of time that it's okay to be doubling down on with your alliance. Like, Fessy feels in the numbers enough to sacrifice an extremely loyal number, then he definitely doesn't care about, you know, trying to duplicate his alliance, whereas that's more important for Devin. So I think Leroy and Anissa is an interesting pair. I think Leroy also makes the right pick, picking Anissa over Amber.
Yep, it is interesting now. So there's four eliminations, two switches, one default switch, and one sticking to the partner.
And presumably a default switch next week with Meech. But that's not a switch. Let's not even call it a switch. I told you. Did I not tell you that person who I made the bet with was going to be like all naggy about it?
Wait, what do you mean next week is a default? Why would next week be
a default? Well, for the same reason when Nicole went home, it's a default. Oh, no, I'm sorry, because Meech would have to go in. Never mind.
Yeah. Yeah, me. Yeah, me.
Sorry,
yeah,
I forget how partner, things work. Right? I'm tired. Yeah, I didn't want to come. Yeah,
it'll be nice to have for the first time. It might take now, I guess, a couple weeks still of like the first time like a woman's going to be the rogue agent. It just so happened to like work out that like women keep being medevaced and stuff like that. That's worked out that way.
Yeah, it's sort of ruining the fact like, were they going to do every other? Were they going to switch it up? Were they going to do something interesting? Right. But.
Yeah, like there's no way next week is not going to be a women's elimination because they haven't had one in a few weeks now. So, and then after that, they're going to want to do a men's just so they can even it out. And then the week after that is when they can do something else.
Last question. This absolutely killed me. So Amanda said, I watched the episode on MTV.com and on the side, I saw hashtags that they, I guess, are tags for the episode. The first one was hashtag dead parents. What? Oh. Who are they marketing this to? So wait. So I had the curious mind that I have. I had to investigate this. So I go to MTV.com. I look, there's a tag section. Ready? Betrayal, adoption, dead parents, cave, hallway confrontation, puzzles, hall, and drone. So I was like, functionally, I have to see what this looks like. I clicked dead parents. It still brought me to this clip. I clicked adoption. I clicked something else, betrayal maybe. And it like brings you to another clip, but I don't really understand the functionality, but this is a new segment. I hope I remember to look at the tags every single week for the episode.
That's unbelievable. That's like a disturbed version of like a Hallmark movie. Those hashtags. Oh my God.
Hallway confrontation to like connect hall brawl to like the Teen Mom episode where people fought in a hallway is hysterical.
Yeah. The trailer for Saw 7 is coming out.
Betrayal, adoption, cave, puzzles, drone.
I cannot believe they hashtag dead parents. That's, oh my God.
It's not like a true hash, you know, it's like tags, colon, and then they're all clickable. Yeah.
Right. Oh, good grief.
Maybe, you know, people want to seek relatable content. Okay. No social media this week, but we will finish on a very funny thing at the end.
Yes, but we do have a drinking game. Pull that up. Thank you, Kyle Picard. Big week this week. 15 total. We had two fancy graphics from the video game controller, and when Big T was like, Josh needs to meditate and drink some tea. That was very funny. Six times TJ offering his opinion by mocking, telling everyone that they suck. I guess he did that six different times. Four people sleeping in bed. Two, what is this is so good?
Anytime you are like, you know how it used to be like every time you're like, oh my God, this is terrible, take a drink. And then this time it's like anytime you're like, oh my God, this season's so good. So it's totally subjective. So Kyle has decided. So how many times did Kyle feel that way?
Two on Big T's.
Oh, he gave you the he gave you.
Yeah, he puts in I love
Kyle.
Footnotes.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Big T's backstory, and that the caves are really cool.
That's extremely personal that he's logging his reactions. I love it. Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. And one for inappropriate club clothing, Tori wearing sweats at the club. And then he said he wanted to include your brother's rule about non-melting hearts, but he was not really on the show, so he couldn't.
Okay, that's good to know that it'll be included.
But it'll be included going forward.
All right. What, do you have a rule?
I had one and now I'm like blanking. So do you have one so I could try to remember it?
All right. It's a spite rule. Anytime there's a switch, I'm using it. I'm pulling that card, but it will just, more enforce and emphasize that we decide when a switch has occurred and we will be logging it.
Okay. I like it. How about anytime, this was it. Anytime someone says that they're like never going to forget, or they'll do this for revenge, or anytime they're saying like they're doing anything out of revenge, or will do something out of revenge, something like that.
The old, I'll remember this.
Yes.
Love it. Lot of 5-star reviews, boku 5-star reviews. Now I'm trying to remember if I already thanked the people on December 24th or if, because that's when we last recorded. Is that when we last? No, we recorded on the 23rd. No, okay.
We did the 23rd. You're in the clear.
All right. Ready for this? It's been 2 weeks. Oh, we set a goal.
Yeah.
What was the goal? 700?
Well, what are we at?
Oh, my God. We're at 724 5-star reviews. I think we asked for 700. Wow. That's why we said, I was like a bit above average. It's like you have 5,000 messages. Wow. Wow. And I thought we would have to come in and make a plea with the guest, and then there was no episode. So, you know, bam, 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 bam. Like, thank you for the air horn. We love you. I can't speak and I'm upset. Okay. Guys, wow. This is amazing. Thank you sincerely to Jay Magat, Connor F. Sank, TB _ Snow Globe, M. Kuzer, TT McKenzie, Camroy Stan, same as a Leroy Camera reference.
Maybe.
Dr. KMG123, Jay Bolico, Bolico, I'll say that. Smith 484, Jessica C. Fowler, K. Marsh, Smiley XOXO, Kristen, but with like a 5 as the S, Jean. Ashley Stan 50, Carrie and the Rascals, El Gonzo 16, Harley 05, and Anthony A 1989. Smash that. It must have been 700 because I think we were at six. No. Am I wrong? Were we?
I thought it was around. Maybe it was seven. Was it like 715 or 720? I thought it was always like a nice round number.
Yeah. So I was saying, did I say 700?
That's what I think.
I don't know, guys, but you remembered and we didn't. And if there's no way it was 750.
No, definitely not.
But if we somehow didn't meet this goal and I made it like 725, I don't care. Thank you for all of those reviews. Thank you for the people who wrote reviews but didn't leave your names. We can thank you. What a way to start the new year. I mean, one good thing for the year.
Love to see it.
If you want to join the fun, let us know you're listening. You can go to robhiswebsite.com/challenge iTunes and rate and review, subscribe, whatever. We appreciate it.
Yep.
Love it. The designated drivers are here after the drinking game. Kate, Matt, and Stuart. And geez, did you take a look at this chart?
It's very color coded and like fantastic.
As I said, your chart could never.
Never.
I don't know what this means. It's far above my abilities, but we are in the lead in the must lose draft between Matt and Brian Scally and me and you. I am at 7. Scally's at 7. You have a whopping 1 point lead over Matt, 5-4. That makes us the winners, if we called it right now. I was thinking, and it's too late now, but we really should have done it where you get more points the earlier your person's eliminated.
Yeah.
Like, lasting in the game should hurt you, but next year.
Next time.
So what were the points for this week? Let's see. Nelson left, so I got a point. Kyle had no confessionals. Natalie had no confessionals. Those are whopping 3 points for your girl. Elimination win for Fessy, so Matt loses a point. Hate to see it. Liv leaving but not eliminated, 2 points for Scally. Liv got 2 points, 3 points for him just on Liv, no confessionals, and you got no confessional for Darrell. Sad to see it with Darrell, but happy to get the point.
Yeah. Interesting.
All interesting. Right. Yeah,
the color codedness is fantastic.
It's really beautiful. I want to just plug that we had the great Grace Leader on NGOG this week. So check that out. Anchor.fm.
Sorry to listen.
New girl, old guy. I'm hearing good buzz. People are liking it. I will say editing it. I laughed out loud the most times I have editing it because Grace and Akiva are very funny. Not my own jokes, but. All right, Nicole, let's talk about Nicole. You want to set this up? What happened with Nicole?
So
I could send you the tweet.
There was a clip going around of Wendy Williams discussing some other scene, and like she was like saying how this person's like a bad person, saying all these mean things about the person who did something, and Twitter doing its thing, photoshopped the clip of Natalie on top of it and pretended that Wendy Williams, for whatever reason, would have been talking about Natalie. Natalie thought it was actually real and got very upset that Wendy Williams was saying such mean things about her.
It wasn't
when
even.
It turns out this was very much not true.
It wasn't even a good Photoshop job. Like, the picture was photoshopped over Wendy's arm as she was like moving it.
Yeah, it was like very clearly fake. But I don't know. Natalie is just, I guess this is her first time logging onto the internet and doesn't know these things exist.
Nicole, you're shading her by calling her Natalie. Nicole. So
yeah, I don't know.
She goes, at Wendy Williams, we've never met and I was unable to see your segment, but the brief statement I caught, quote, unlikable, that appeared on my feed shows what social media wants to portray. That doesn't even make sense. Some people are just ignorant, parentheses, you, with that fact, but kudos, spelled KODOS, to the pic that you used. Like, what? I don't even know what that means. Is she mad? She's calling, is Wendy ignorant, but also social media is the problem? I don't.
She's all over the place. All over the place. Doesn't know what's going on.
I'm going to tweet every time someone calls me unlikable. Like, catch that, those tweets. I mean, relax. The clip is like, she's unlikable. That's it. Like, that's the whole clip. It's not even rude. Whatever.
Oh, Nicole.
I'm done.
Womp womp. So, that'll do it. Episode 4. As you said, subscribe. RobHisWebsite.com/challenge iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Cohen with a C, Brian _. Follow you
at @LashTweets.
We'll be back next week, hopefully in happier times, for episode 5. Until then, have a good one.